RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Beautiful Hump Day, Val, and...
Beans! I have... Yes. There's construction, Frank.
Mine just ended.
Okay, so we're switching roles today. Across the street, they're building a house. And you can hear it.
Oh, the driveway looks great over here.
Oh, that you got the driveway done?
Oh, driveway looks great.
Great.
So there's that. But they smashed part of the house, so now they're coming today to fix the house. So they smashed the house.
Literally?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a small little corner, and they destroyed a gutter, so they're they're coming by to...
Whoops.
But other than that, everything else looks so beautiful, you could forgive the smashing.
Well, you have a very weird Skype connection today, so...
Really?
Yeah, it was like, it's weird. It's like you're underwater. So it's back to normal. We'll keep an eye on it as we go on. I wanted to start, Frank, by talking with you about the weird sort of posture we're in right now in the country. So the riots, for the most part, have died down a little. However, now we've got Antifa taking over cities and making them like blocking off, cordoning off sections and making them like autonomous zones where no rules or laws apply. Like they've invaded and
you mean like refugee no-go zones in Europe that everybody denied were there?
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah. They're pretty much declaring that these places are now theirs.
Caliphate. Like, I'm telling you, they're trying to build a caliphate. I've been saying it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, this is Seattle City. They broke into Seattle City Hall. And they're demanding that she resign, the mayor there, who is ridiculously progressive. They're eating their own at this point, which I'm kind of enjoying watching. But they're in City Hall in the middle of the night demanding that she resign because she won't defund the police.
She won't defund the police because they want to be the police now.
I don't know what they want. I don't think they would know what they want. And whatever they get what they want, they'll just ask for more. So this is what's happening now. Here's the interesting thing. The other day, I tweeted something about Nancy Pelosi, who was being asked about the defunding of the police. And she was really in a little bit of a pickle, Frank, because I think she knows that the majority of Americans don't agree with this nonsense. And so she has to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, because Joe Biden's doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're like skirting around the issue. Right. They're skirting around the issue. I'm trying to find the clip because it was a clip and they won't address it. They won't address it because they know that if they address it, they will piss off the extremist 2%. Here it is.
So there are all kinds of ways that we come at this. The fact that the distinguished chairwoman mentioned, and as she has said and others have said, we want to work with our police departments. There are many who take pride in their work. And we want to be able to make sure that the focus is on them. But there are many things we call upon our police departments to deal with, mental health issues, policing in schools and the rest, that we could rebalance some of our funding to address some of those issues.
What has policing in schools done? What has policing in school? In fact, what we've seen in the last couple of years is that some of the police, if you're looking at Miami-Dade,
run away.
Yeah, some of the police run away from trouble. They're not hands on. They actually don't. I mean, so you know.
Not only that, some of the police bring the students into their little criminal enterprises.
Yeah, and we already know because of local edicts and because of how everybody wants to be able to constantly compete for federal money that it's become commonplace to completely ignore criminality that is being committed by students who are then recruited by local crime bosses because they know that pretty much young kids are exempt in many ways from criminal prosecution.
Yeah.
So they could become like almost like low risk foot soldiers for adult criminals. So and of course, you talk about old Nancy Pelosi skirting around the issue. Well, number one, why the hell is she, unless she's just afraid for her personal safety, why is she so crazed, crazy about appeasing such a small minority of people?
Well, when that's exactly what we were going to address now. So I think they know this extremist wing of their own party is violent. They have cancel culture under their thumb. They have a lot of power in the media because the media has cowered to them as well. And she knows she has to pacify those people. Otherwise, they'll be like a squad, you know, overtaking in any Democrat race that's up for grabs. And these people don't make any money or have any success off of what Antifa is doing. These people are just as embedded into the swamp moderacy, if that's even a word. Like, you know, the swamp is not extremist left. They need a functioning, you know, society to make any money.
Well, they're not. First of all, we said this before here, too. There's the swamp there. The same people who didn't want Bernie Sanders, that don't want Donald Trump, is because regardless of what side of the spectrum you're drifting toward, they want to keep it status quo.
Right.
We're talking about a system that's worth multiple trillions of dollars. Nobody really wants to get rid of it. They just want to make sure that their straw is dipped into that river right there. And the other thing that you can also rest easy on is that, what were we hearing in 2018? We were talking about getting rid of ICE and abolishing Border Patrol and all that other stuff. Where is that now? It's gone. They're trying to create some sort of a platform for 2020 because there is no platform there. So either way, it's going to be temporary chaos because nobody's going to be getting rid of their police forces.
Well, I mean, Minnesota's going to do it.
Well, but that's the thing. That's the thing. Then let them do it and let them live with it because there's no.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you're right. Exactly. But that's why I said today, why are we having national conversations about fundamentally changing an entire section of our society over an incident that happened between two people out of 350 something million?
It doesn't even matter if the incident that happened between two people and 330 million was even so bad it warranted the discussion.
Yes.
There is no provision for Congress to create, quote, we keep hearing, we need sweeping reform of policing. You can't. There is no provision for you to do so. There's nothing in Article 1 that says Congress can create uniform policing rules for all of the departments across the country.
It's ridiculous is what it is. But we got a little off where my topic was going, which is always fine. But what I'm trying to say here is that the leaders of this party that know that votes still matter. And so for anybody that's saying your elections don't matter, they're all rigged. I don't agree with that. I used to think that that was true until 2016, and now I'm more sure than ever that it's not true, because they wouldn't need to spend so much energy on rigging the election and changing votes if they ultimately didn't matter at the end of the day anyway. You know what I'm saying? So she's worried about the voter. That's what she's worried about. And she's also worried about pacifying this extremist wing that, again, we've said many times, is made to look as though they are a majority. They're not. So when I'm reading comments about all these companies, Frank, we put up an article at uncoverdc.com. Sharon wrote an article for us that says, you know, there are like a handful of companies addressing their customers about Black Lives Matter. North Face, Target, Ulta, PetSmart, Dollar Shave Club, Fandango, SeatGeek, just to name a couple of them. Then there's DoorDash, OpenTable, and Uber Eats. They're getting such blowback about this. They're literally, OpenTable customers are leaving them in droves because they're showcasing Black-owned restaurants for perks. And I'm like, what about the Hispanic-owned restaurant or the white-owned restaurant? They're not good enough? Now it's all Black-owned restaurants? Like, I don't know who owns the restaurant when I go in to eat there, and I don't care.
Most and the vast majority of people don't. But that is a whole part of, this is the only way that a small, squeaky minority of people, and I'm not talking ethnic minority, I'm not talking racial minority, I'm talking about this political, ideological scourge. They need to be able to project some far more far-reaching trouble onto the rest of the country. And they've been able to do it because they are in the boardrooms of very influential and well patronized companies now. They are obviously in the war rooms of every news network out there that has any sizable endowment behind its operation. They are in every last classroom from coast to coast. They have been for decades,
you know, whose
in
fault
American
this is?
Universities.
It's our fault.
Oh, yeah.
It's our fault. Look,
oh, yeah.
Stand in front of the mirror, take a look in there, and blame yourself. It's been the pacifism that has gone on in this country for far too long that has allowed this to happen.
Well, they've cloaked. There has been, I mean, we're talking about dark arts here, Tracy. You know, you can smell a rat. You can see where the conversation is starting to shift. But you try to put your finger on where it's all coming from. And sometimes by the time you understand where it's coming from, it's too late. This is just like, this is like Emperor Palpatine hiding the fact that he's been a Sith Lord the whole time. But he's been in control of the Senate, waging a war on both sides. Gradually escalating it. It's the same exact thing. So, I think it would be incumbent upon us to understand that we have a responsibility now, and we certainly are to blame if now that it's so open and naked and in our faces, if we don't do anything now, then we have a big problem. But
we still have a majority in this country. Remember that. We have a lot of money in our pockets, too, and we can choose where we spend it. So,
well, I think the majority is even bigger than that, because I would count among that majority lots of people in our lives who have just traditionally been dragged along the Democrat Party line. That I think that in the quiet moments that they have in the day, alone with themselves in the dark in their bedrooms, they admit that things are terribly wrong. And that they're just following. They're on a conga line of fools because
I don't mean to put you on the spot. What does your mom say?
She doesn't actually. She's been watching my show a lot more.
Really?
I've been noticing that because when I've been live every once in a while, she'll text me something relevant to what I'm talking about. And I'm like, OK. And I know she hasn't been watching The View. Mm. And
see,
so,
that's my my gauge is your amazing, beautiful mother.
It's more than that there, too, because we all have friends now who are either firsthand sources or secondhand sources of other people who are first time gun buyers.
Yep.
People who are watching cities get torn down. People who have good relationship with police, and they see, all right, well, what the hell is really there standing in my way? And do I really want to be alongside of, I don't know. It's like taking a vote on the deck of the Titanic. It's like you got to throw out all your past conceptions of everything and just survive the moment. And I think a lot of people are willing to do that.
I agree with you. We're seeing them. Not that I look, there's a bunch of different history about Christopher Columbus. Not the point. OK, seeing people behead statues, Virginia taking down a statue of Robert E. Lee. The next thing is going to be the founders. They're going to say they were all racist, so the Constitution is null and void.
Already said that. They've been saying that.
They have. I didn't even see that.
They want to remove the likeness of Thomas Jefferson on every university he started, or every university he's named that's named after him.
Basically, enough is enough, Frank. Enough is enough. People need to stop now, and there needs to be like some sort of a stand up. And I tweeted this morning, as time goes on, we're descending into fascism if we're not already there. It's Orwell's 1984 as an instruction manual. They're canceling movies. They canceled Cops. They canceled Live PD.
Yeah.
They canceled Gone with the Wind. They're beheading statues. We're all just watching this because we're peaceful people. And there's a lot of us. We're going to have to do something. And Joe Flynn retweeted me. He said,
go ahead.
He said, I think it's time for a million patriot march from Americans of all walks of life, religions, and skin colors to show our unity and love for the country and the good it represents. Who is with me?
Well, you know, they did great on that, and it was an amazing, you forget about it because it was less than a year ago, but still it feels so far away now. And we know that many 4th of July celebrations around the country are going to be a little bit compromised depending on what the local government is comprised of. But last year's marches in Washington, D.C. were beautiful as far as showing the rich, diverse reality that is the United States of America. People from people whose family lineage connects to every last corner of the world that were waving American flags, but also holding on to their own family roots and, you know, all that stuff. And it was amazing to see all these people that are so different culturally and familially and all that stuff, in familial sense, I should say, and still have that commonality, that common bond of love of the arena over here that we've all has been created for us to go and enjoy. And that kind of stuff, that is even better. I think that's even better than the marches, to see so many people together and having a good time. It was such a great display last year.
Well, guess what's happening within the next 2 weeks?
4th of July?
Rallies.
Nice.
4th of July is more than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, it's like, what, three?
Four. Three. It's 6:10, so yeah. But rallies are back.
So what's the first one?
I don't know. He hasn't announced it yet. He just said within 2 weeks.
This is great.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, he listened to you.
I said it has to happen immediately. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah.
Yep. So good. Yeah. No. And you know, it's funny you brought up all those things, because tonight's show, I'm doing is going to be on history stopping, which is another theme in 1984. You know, just the controlling and the altering of the past to create a present and predict and project a future onto a normally free people. So it's going to be it's interesting you set all that up, because I have a lot of that ready for tonight, including a little bit more background on Robert E. Lee.
Good.
So
good. Good. We have Brandon, who went out to some protests. Here, listen to this.
Educate people.
But you don't have any information.
I'm going to assume you won't trust any of my sources.
You're the least educated people here.
Really?
Yes. Wait. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's dance. All right. Let's talk statistics, because black people are being killed by police, right?
Yes.
What are the numbers?
I don't need to tell you the numbers.
You don't know
to
anything.
Fucking understand your privilege, and the fact that your skin color does not get you fucking killed.
Okay, can we talk about statistics and numbers and data and facts and evidence?
Wait, what
are the numbers? What are the numbers?
Yeah, what are the numbers
right.
for you guys?
Hold on. Right.
No. What are the numbers?
I'm going to tell you. The number of unarmed black people who were killed by police last year was 9. That's 0.00022% of the entire black population. The number of white people who were killed by the unarmed white people killed by the police last year was 19. So, and the number of white people who are killed by police every year is double the amount that's killed by black people every year.
You literally disgust me.
Because the facts that I'm giving you don't align with your cult narrative. What is it about me that disgusts you? You're angry because I told you facts.
You're fucking privileged. That's not a color.
Yeah,
do you not understand
yourself right now?
No, I'm an ally. I'm a fucking ally because I believe.
An ally to what?
To equality and justice.
Right, but I just gave you the numbers which show that the thing that you're angry about isn't real. Black people are not being killed by police in disproportionate numbers. It's not happening. You're just full of rage for no reason. More than
she wasn't very happy.
No, she wasn't very happy, and she was also very stupid.
Yes.
She started
putting her little cardboard sign in his face.
Oh, yes, that's right. I've seen that done a lot in kindergarten.
They don't want their face to be shown anymore because they're embarrassed, and that's what that is. She's sitting there. You can see the shame and embarrassment on her face, that she has no idea why she's standing there. And then she blocks her face so that she can not be on the camera anymore. And maybe she'll tell you that the reason why she's doing that is because she doesn't like him and she doesn't want to be a part of his stupid video. But the real reason is she's embarrassed and she's shamed because she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah. No. You don't. It's there's nothing better. There's nothing. There'd be no sweeter delight taken by anybody to be able to be able to very publicly beat down another person's argument with cool, hard logic, facts, and in a clear mind. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, if you're outnumbered or whatever the hell else. If you got that going for you, then there's no, you don't want to hide. You want to be proud about that stuff. It also sounded like she was talking through a face mask
too. She was.
Okay, so, you know, what is she hiding? Her eyes? Like, we're going to do a retina scan or something? Going to find out who you are?
Well, idiot. The face mask wasn't on properly because these people, they don't know what they're doing. They're mindless drones. She doesn't even have the face mask on right. So she's wearing a face mask that's doing absolutely nothing while she's protesting for something she has no factual information on. It's they're robots. They're automatons.
They're proud peacocks is what they are. Everything is peacocking. You have the mask around your face, even though we now know that it is very rare that asymptomatic people are able to spread this thing. So it means that and everybody else says it's losing its potency. Well, listen, this means that you have never ever had to wear this damn mask. And for anybody to say that, oh, the mask helps, but you're still gonna stand 6 inches apart from somebody else, it's don't you understand what is being done to you?
No.
Where you're, oh my God.
They don't understand it at all. But a lot of us do. I did a cool thing last night. I don't know if you saw it. I tweeted something. I just popped into my head. I said, if you could travel back in time and give the January 2020 you a message, what would it be?
Oh, man. January 2020 you. I don't know.
If you could travel back in time and tell something to yourself in January of 2020 to I don't know.
Everything that has happened has been just too big for one person to stop. So I think I would just think a little bit more selfishly, and I try to think of some things to go play some bets on in Vegas.
There was some really good ones. One of them was go to Minnesota and give George Floyd a real $20 bill.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that. First of all, I'd be a little bit more bold. I would be a little bit more bold about the COVID-19 reporting because back then there were still a lot of answers we needed. A lot of questions we wanted to answer because we were at that point, we had only seen what was going on in China. Then again, in January of 2020, we still had another month and change left of impeachment.
Yeah, I know. This impeachment.
January 2020, we were still talking about the volley of missiles that were being launched between Iran and Iraq, Soleimani. This really does feel like a couple of years ago.
It does.
And
it does, Frank. It's
like,
crazy.
What the hell would you do?
I mean,
and like I said before there too, tell me whose side people are on that Iran is parroting CNN talking points about photo ops and using the Bible as a prop. I mean, these were, you're telling me they haven't been on the same side the whole time? How we've been taking really timid approaches of labeling Iran one way or another in the media when all that was going on around New Year's Eve and stuff like that. And now here they are toe to toe against Donald Trump. This entire thing is contrived. And now that we know what we do know about the virus, I have completely reconsidered everything I once thought about China's involvement, whether or not it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because it needed
you
to
remember
be.
Remember my theory?
What?
That they overreacted to it on purpose?
I believe it. Why the hell? Why the hell not at this point? All it took was a little global acting. You had a lot of people out there in the EU. You had a lot of people in China. And of course, the entirety of the media, which we know is global. The UN, the WHO, Bill and Melinda Gates working overtime. We know all of the events that they put together. We know the things that they were promoting. We know all of the materials that Netflix was perfectly timing with their releases. And now here we are. I just don't get it. And of course, there are all the recent revelations about that virus would say that there's no absolutely no reason why anybody should ever be mandated to take a shot. That's for damn sure. So yeah, January 2020, I don't even know, but that would be interesting. I think that the one thing you could do, but then again, one thing you could do, yeah, If you go to Minneapolis, you find George Floyd, and maybe you can find something, a way to, you know, prevent that or warn him or figure out exactly what was going on between him and that cop that worked together for years.
Yep.
To figure out what was actually happening there, that would be interesting. But Tracy, here's this is the big trap with going back in time and preventing something kind of scenarios.
We would have figured something else out.
Exactly. You don't think that above all else, right now, when they needed something to switch onto the most, they said, okay, well, this is perfect. This is perfect.
How many, I said also yesterday, I'm going to place, real quick before I say this. This is what Shem posted. This is what Shem said. Ready?
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
Exactly. Asshole.
Leave it to Shemmy. I said, I forgot what I was. Oh, damn it.
About George Floyd.
Oh, you said, I also said, how many funerals is this man going to have?
I know. There was probably tens of thousands of Americans who could not give one funeral to people that they loved.
Yeah.
This guy got a tour. He got a tour. Al Sharpton is on tour with a casket right now.
Oh my God. There was somebody that commented on that about their nephew not being able to bury their nephew. And it broke my heart. There are so many people that were forced to bury their loved ones without even getting to say goodbye. It's disgusting. It really is. Because of these policies and this ridiculousness.
And how many of those people were killed because of bad ventilator practices?
Oh, that's a whole different story.
And how many people were killed because the patchwork quilt of fascist governors and mayors were making people scared to go and try time tested therapies?
The article about hydroxychloroquine went up, and we have comment from the doctor who was the one who discovered that entire thing. It's called, the article is called Politicized Science, The Lancet and NEJM Retract Studies Finding Hydroxychloroquine Deadly and Ineffective. Dr. James Todaro, who was the doctor who found this, was interviewed by Celia and is quoted throughout this article. Hmm. And he said, my report was the first to make a detailed investigation into Surgisphere, the data company that didn't exist and had some porn star as their employee. Like, he basically just went and chose people off the internet randomly to list as employees. They're the ones who did the studies on hydroxychloroquine that weren't based on anything. They were fake. They were made up studies that The Lancet published.
Well, porn stars probably know a lot about viruses. Just to be fair.
That's supposedly a very clean industry now, Frank.
Yes, it has to be.
Yeah. So anyway, there was that. And then I have a good story. Yesterday was primary day in South Carolina for us. And so I went to vote and I walked in and they took my ID as they always do. And they wrote I signed my name in and they did all that. And they handed me a long Q-tip and a long square cardboardish white strip of paper. And they put the paper in the machine. It's labeled with the number that I was on the log. So it had my line number. Mm-hmm. They put the paper in the machine. You go through. You use the Q-tip to touch the screen so you're not touching it with your fingers, which I think they should have been doing that forever. Like, who the heck wants to touch a germy screen anyway? So she told me when I said that the screens used to be heat reactive, which is why you needed to touch them.
Right. Right, but not anymore.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like with car touch screens. Like, I remember two cars ago when I was driving a Nissan Rogue, the day that I pulled it off of the lot, the woman that was helping me, you know, just getting me acquainted with the interior and stuff, she had these long nails. So she can actually like press or, you know, but she's actually touching everything with the tips of her fingernails, which I know that was not happening. You know, even a couple of years ago, you needed to have some kind of, you know, heat. And even then, skin on screen, it had to have some kind of moisture
yeah.
to your, or else you'll, it's almost like a marble. But so, yeah, it's cool that that's happening.
Yeah. So I did my selections or whatever, and then I hit next, and the best thing happened. It printed out on my white sheet that had gone in the machine. So like it tells me, put the white paper in the machine. So I put it in, it prints out what I voted for and gives it back to me. And I look at it and I see what my votes were. And then I compare it to what was on the screen. And then I say, okay, they say, if this is correct, hit next and re-enter your paper. So I did. I hit next, I re-entered my paper and shot it out again to make me confirm again that it was correct. Then I hit okay. And I go over and put it in the ending machine that scans that paper again. So I have like never felt more confident that my vote was counted correctly because I checked it twice. My name corresponded to, you know what I'm saying? Like there were so many safeguards in place, and they had a paper ballot to triple check with because it printed on the ballot and I confirmed that it printed correctly.
Right.
It was great. It was great. Anyway,
well, I also saw it. I saw the primaries in Virginia were on the opposite. Some people were reporting it was the opposite, and it was actually almost unintentionally painful to go out there and cast a vote. That it sometimes took 3 hours to move 70 spots up in line.
Why?
And because of their social distancing stuff, and the theory here is, and the first thing I thought before I saw it editorialized and people talking about it in comments and also in the articles themselves, is that the process is being made intentionally torturous
because they want you to
so that there is more of a demand for mail-in votes, because this is just a primary, you know. So you think, you know, it's I know that November 3rd is a long way away and should make time to go vote. But still, you know, if that's for a primary right there, what are you going to do? You can stay online for 6.5 hours to cast your vote for the president. And that's what they're doing. But then again, the whole point of 2020 is inflict pain on people.
I think that people will stand online for 6.5 hours to cast their vote for president.
At this point, I would. I wouldn't be able to write the show for that night. People would just have to understand that I'm going to have to just go live and improvise everything. But I would stay online at this point.
I think most of us would.
Yeah. No. There's no way in hell that anybody should say, "Not to hell with it. I'm staying home." No way in hell.
Not this time around. Like, I was on a show this morning, and the host asked me, you know, if President Trump doesn't win, this whole Durham investigation is just going to go away. And I said, listen, if President Trump doesn't win, the least of our problems is going to be the John Durham investigation going away.
Yep.
The least of them. And then once President Trump wins, we get 4 more years of God knows what they're going to do. God only knows. But we also have a President Trump who's not really worried about reelection.
That's the big thing. That's a guy he's not. But then again, Tracy, think about this. You know, last night, part of my show was about fake polls.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can actually. Do you have something else you want to get to?
Yeah, I was going to play some bar comments, but I can pause for a second so you can find that stuff.
Well, then here, because it goes hand in hand with your confident president thing. Now, last night, I was trying to put all this together and reconcile this information. Number one, you know that over the last couple of days, CNN has been reporting that Joe Biden has a 14-point lead on Donald Trump. Okay.
Who 14. Are they reporting that to?
I don't know.
They're reporting that to their viewers, which are who? Like 2 million, 3 million Americans who are going to vote for Joe Biden anyway? What do you think that's going to encourage them to do?
Either just vote or stay home and think, wow, do we really have this in the bag?
There you go.
But on top of that, take that 14-point lead. Then I saw Rasmussen. Of course, we all saw this. Reports that Black Americans' approval of the president is somewhere around 40% right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is dangerous,
which is very dangerous because, you know, they continue. I saw this from MSN, said that Biden now has more support from women than Hillary Clinton had from women. And I'm saying now, how? First of all,
rapist?
Yeah, he's the molester. Either they are more likely to vote for the molester over the woman who merely discredited other women who were molested. I mean, I don't get how that is. And that's even with white liberal women being the least independent thinking creatures on the planet when it comes to politics. Okay, but here's the big thing here. With all of that going on, is there even enough white women out there to that could actually even give Joe Biden a 14-point lead if Black Americans is approval of the president is even close to being true at 40%?
Ooh,
if
Rich they have would be 40, great to ask.
Yeah, I would love to know that if we can get Rich on or something just for that one quick question.
Let's do something crazy.
Let's call him?
Yeah.
Yeah, pause and call him. Say, hey, we have one question. Come on for 5 minutes.
All right, hold on. All right, we tried. Rich is not answering. Damn you, Rich.
How dare you not be on call for us constantly?
But anyway.
No, that would be that. That's something I would love to know. If Black Americans' approval of the president is anywhere close to 40%, are there even enough white liberal women in the country to give Biden a 14-point lead?
That's a good question. It really is. It's a good question because I don't know if white liberal women have enough numbers as that, you know, how close in numbers are they to African-American voters?
I don't know.
Somebody's got to know.
Or maybe just liberal women in general and just discount race.
Oh, did I say Black liberal women? I didn't mean that.
No, you said white because I said white.
Oh.
So I'm just generalizing my initial question even more, you know, because 14 points is just, that's in an election, any election, 14 points is an astronomically large deficit.
That's what that guy who ran in California won by.
Yeah.
14 points.
It's a huge deficit. You know, 14, you know, out of 100 is like, oh, that's not a lot. It's huge in elections.
It is.
Double digits is big.
Speaking of white liberal women who are not independent thinkers, Carpe Donctum shared something last night that was, or yesterday, that was pretty funny. It was a white liberal woman who was on TikTok.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, and then I found her follow-up. Here we go. Let's listen. This is real.
No, I'm not exactly the voice that people need to be hearing right now.
It's true. You're not.
In fact, I need more confirmation that this is real. I've gotten some, but I need more confirmation that this is real.
Oh, my God.
Trump supporters got an email. So this email is for patriots only. You've been identified as one of President Trump's fiercest and most loyal defenders, and according to your donor file, you'd make an excellent addition to the Trump army.
Oh my God!
I was going to tell them that they would get a limited edition camo Keep America Great hat to let them know that you are the president's first line of defense when it comes to fighting off the liberal mob. I don't know if you know, Hitler made Jews wear yellow stars.
He did what?
This feels like the reverse of that.
Underneath it says, he's starting another Holocaust. Prove me wrong.
It's just like Hitler making the Jews wear yellow stars, but in reverse, you know, where people voluntarily donate to a campaign and get a token in the form of a Trump hat. It's not even reverse, you nincompoop. That's called a sales promotion.
So this is a liberal math teacher, obviously. And now listen to this. I went looking for her.
She's a teacher?
Yeah, she's a teacher.
I thought that this was a 17-year-old girl when I was making fun of her last night.
No, she's a teacher.
Even though that's not much better. I'm making fun of children, but still.
Evil. Here.
Registered Republican.
I found, and here, you could tell she's a math teacher. She says, I paint, I teach math, and have a fluffy bunny 30-day paint challenge on YouTube. Her name is at Miscalculated.
Oh, yeah, right.
She miscalculated, all right. Here.
Okay, so for me, at least, this one friggin' blew up. And you'll notice that I also posted some other ones, all concerning the same thing, but that's not how the algorithm works, so I have been told. So here's what basically went down. Me, a Jewish woman, saw swastikas, All Lives Matter, lots of propaganda, lots of other World War II kind of Hitler-y stuff.
Yeah,
and so stuff. I also saw this email saying that Trump supporters can donate to get this hat to form an army. A clarifying thing that I found out from people is that just because you are a registered Republican does not mean that you got this email, but if you donated to the Trump campaign, then you got the email. Hitler did something very, very similar, but sort of in the reverse order by making Jewish people wear a yellow star, whereas now we are asking Trump supporters to distinguish themselves with this special hat. So yes, this freaked me out, and it should freak you out too, because he is identifying who to protect rather than just labeling the enemy.
Yeah, this is what we call the midwit, Tracy. She probably has an IQ somewhere around, I don't know, maybe 110 to 125 or something, and is just, there always has to be something more. And of course, when they go out on a limb and they try to put together pieces that don't exist and they make themselves look like a fool, there is no, oh damn, I was wrong, I was emotional. No. Let me just wipe the tears away from my eyes and brush my hair this time and explain to you exactly my thinking and why this still makes sense to me. But I'm just going to do it in a little bit less hysterical way. This is a psychologically manipulative person. It is
psychologically manipulated.
Oh yeah. This is an abused child. And I thought, I mean, it's actually probably stunted her development, because I'm telling you, I didn't think that this was a teacher. I thought this was a current student. You know, so I
Frank making fun of 17-year-olds on his show.
Well, I was prepared to, at least.
So I was very, very much encouraged by the comments underneath it. They were great. Nobody thought that she was, there were like maybe two comments I read that thought that this woman was normal or like righteous. And I was also sent something this morning by a friend of mine that I wanted to read to you really quickly because it's crazy. It's a post on Facebook that says, "For the white people I know that had a hard life, that grew up poor and from a financial standpoint underprivileged, that maybe even experienced what they could call reverse racism and that just don't understand or believe in white privilege, read this." Written by a white man who also grew up poor and who didn't believe in white privilege or any type of privilege. Because you all know it's not just white privilege. There's a lot of different types out there. Male privilege, cis privilege, able-bodied privilege. I could go on. Able-bodied privilege? Because some people are disabled? This is just, these people are nuts. Lunatics.
Midwits.
Who isn't privileged at that point? So what if you are disabled but white? Are you still privileged at all?
Pretty much what it means, Tracy, is that the people who should be ruling the world are disabled black trans people. because there's nobody that could possibly out-victim them.
Who could out-victim them?
They trump everybody. Everybody in the room must stay silent when they speak.
Disabled
according to this.
Trans people.
Disabled black trans people, they are at the top of the progressive stack, according to this logic.
I love you, Frank.
You're welcome. Love you, too.
Okay. Let's go on to Bill Barr, shall we? He had a bombshell interview yesterday with Bret Baier, who is just, I mean, do you ever notice, and I might get in trouble for saying, this might be another one of those times where we delete out the section. We're going to do it anyway. There are a few celebrities who have gone through a transformation as they've gotten older, where their heads have grown. John Travolta, he's one.
Barry Bonds,
yes. Name another one. There's other celebrities. I just am not thinking of them off the top of my head.
Are we talking about the physical growing of skulls?
Yes.
Okay.
Their heads have just gotten big. Look at John Travolta during the 70s and then put him next to John Travolta today.
You know, some people's heads just get fat, though.
I don't care what it is. His head has gotten big.
Who else? Who else?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise's head has gotten big?
Yes. Yes. Hold on. I'm pausing it. So we're going through a little exercise here where we're looking at, here, I just got a link from Frank.
Yeah, well, look, that's Bradley Cooper they have up there. And there's Leonardo DiCaprio. But this is the thing. I don't think the head is getting bigger because the hairline is the same. It's just that when you get older, your biochemistry changes, your metabolism changes, and you just fill out a little bit more.
John Travolta's head is like 40 times the size as it was when he was younger. I'm telling you. Same thing with Alec Baldwin. Look, here they have John Travolta on there.
The Rock looks, his head looks like a mutant cantaloupe now. And why anybody's listening to that guy? Like, he can bench press his way through a political opinion and make platitudes any more or less platitudes.
It's really sad because I actually like him, or did anyway.
Yeah, but we need a leader right now. Have you been paying attention? No matter what stance this man in the White House takes, everybody's on the opposite side of the fence.
I can't believe
it. How do you want people to lead? No, you're not asking him to lead. You're asking him to follow, you idiot. Alec Baldwin. Look at that head. I can't believe
Jake Gyllenhaal is now 37.
Alec Baldwin looks like a Macy's Day float.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you. Anyway, Brett Baer's head is big. That's where I was going with it.
Brett Baer?
Yes. Brett Baer has a big head. I'm sorry. I that's what I thought of when I looked at him. I don't know why we're doing this right now. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. I thought that there was a point.
There is a point. The point is that Brett Baer, in my opinion, has a large head. When I look at him, I think of John Travolta. And I'm going to play a clip from his show now. So that's basically what I was doing. You ready?
Yes. Let's do it.
He has a big... all right. Here.
At least some bombshells in there about the investigation of the investigation into Trump collusion.
Well, I can't address expectations. I can say that even with the disruption of COVID and the fact that our court system has essentially been shut down for a few months, the Durham team has been working very aggressively to move forward. And as I've also said, this isn't being driven by producing a report. We are trying to get to a point where we can hold accountable anyone who crossed the line and committed a criminal violation. So that's, I think, would be the initial stage of a resolution of Durham's investigation. But I also think that there will be public disclosure and some form of report at the appropriate time.
From what you've seen, crimes have been committed?
Well, I can't say.
Well, can you paint a picture of what it looks like as far as broad nature of it?
I think before the election, I think we're concerned about the motive force behind the very aggressive investigation that was launched into the Trump campaign without, with a very thin, slender reed as a basis for it. It seemed that the Bureau was sort of spring-loaded at the end of July to drive in there and investigate a campaign. And they really wasn't much there to do that on, and that became more and more evident as they went by, but they seemed to have ignored all the exculpatory evidence that was building up and continued pell-mell to push it forward. So that's one area of concern. The other area of concern is that after the election, even though they were closing down some of it, as we've seen in the Flynn case, and say there's nothing here, for some reason they went right back at it, even at a time where the evidentiary support or claim support, like the dossier, was falling apart. And it's very hard to understand why they continued to push and even make public in testimony that they had an investigation going when it was becoming painfully obvious, or should have been obvious to anyone, that there was nothing there.
So there ain't going to be no report. And he basically tells us that they're in the criminal system working the courts right now because they're closed and it's been a little slower. If they weren't doing indictments and getting in there and all that stuff, then they wouldn't give a crap that the courts were closed.
Right.
Then there's this gem, Frank.
Biden, I think
always get lumped in with being political, and you've pushed back against that, the characterization that you're the president's attorney. But as you get closer to an election, doesn't releasing this report and making it more at risk for falling into that political bucket?
I'm sure there are people who might say that. I've publicly made clear that this does not involve looking at President Obama or Vice President Biden. I think the people that we're looking at are not at that level, and I think
what names we would be familiar with,
some of them, you know, here's the thing. For the first time in American history, police organizations and the national security organizations were used to spy on a campaign, and there was no basis for it. And the media largely drove that, and all kinds of sensational claims were being made about the president that could have affected the election. And then later on in his administration, there were actions taken that really appear to be efforts to sabotage his campaign. And that has to be looked at. And if people want to say that I'm political because I am looking at those potential abuses of power, so be it. But that's the job of the attorney general.
If you had to characterize the Durham report as you know it now, is it going to be eye-opening for Americans, or is this going to be kind of a blip on the road to?
You know, I'm very troubled by what has been called to my attention so far, but I'm not going to characterize it beyond that.
Can you?
This was the next one that really threw me for a loop.
Now, he said, is that just a poor choice of words for him to say the Durham report?
Brett Baer said that before Barr gave the answer that we first listened to.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Yeah. So he clarified the report thing. Okay. I don't know where everybody got this BS report narrative from in the first place.
Yeah, we're waiting for Durham's report, as if that the report is going to trigger action from somebody else. I mean, that's what everybody thinks.
Yeah, he's a U.S. attorney. He doesn't need to write a report. He's got the tools to make arrests.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. This is it. I know you can't get this is the bombshell one right here.
You mentioned the Flynn case. You're in the process of trying to dismiss that charge, the charges, yet the judge Sullivan, continues on and has now a shadow prosecutor making a case that it should continue.
The argument is that it's always been understood that decisions whether to pursue an individual through the prosecution process or holding them criminally accountable is vested in the executive branch and not the courts. And he is essentially, in our view, trying to set himself up as an alternative prosecutor.
And so have you seen anything like this before?
I'm not aware of anything like this before, and I think that's why this is not being argued at the appellate stage in the District of Columbia.
I know you can't get into specifics, but the DOJ Inspector General identified this top FBI lawyer who fabricated evidence in order to justify this warrant against Carter Page to spy on him. We know that's a crime, yet there haven't been any charges yet. Is that person still working at the FBI?
No.
And are there charges?
Well, you know, we can't discuss, you know, future charges, but I have to say that I do find a little irritating, you know, the propensity in the American public on all sides of the political spectrum when they see something they think could be a criminal violation and say, why hasn't this person been indicted yet? Why hasn't this person died? Why? And, you know, there's the old saying that the wheels of justice grind slow, and they do grind slow because we have due process and we follow the process. But people should not draw from the fact that no action has been taken yet, that means that people are going to get away with wrongdoing.
Okay. All right. Oh, and just to be clear, they're talking to the FBI employee. They're talking about Kleinsmith.
They were talking about Kleinsmith, but it broadened out towards the end there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's funny because I have a conversation ongoing in a DM with this one person who is constantly, well, so-and-so is not arrested and so-and-so still this and so-and-so is not. And I said, knock, knock, person XXX. This message is for you.
All right.
He's literally speaking directly to you.
Literally.
He goes, shut up. You have no idea how many times I have to hear that every day. And it's true. But I mean, I keep saying, you know, and then the normal attacks come. Well, you're just selling people hope. I'm like, how much am I charging? Because I'm not seeing it in the bank.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Of all the things to sell.
Hope. I wish I could sell some hope to people. People don't even want to buy it anymore.
It would be good. It'd be good to have a hopeful people out there.
People don't want to buy it. I'm like, it's on sale. Nobody wants it.
Hope and inspiration. On sale.
Buy 70% my hope.
Off.
I'm trying to sell it. Nobody wants my hope.
It's a fire sale. Going back to school, hope and inspiration.
Hopium.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, that's good for today. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
We talked about heads. We talked about progressive or not even progressive. We talked about anarchist extremists. We talked about Joe Flynn saying he wants a million man march. We got some laughs out of the way. We did good.
We got a lot done today.
We did. And just so everybody knows, on Friday, we are recording the show a little bit late so that we can listen to the appeals hearing in the case of General Flynn, which will be live streamed on the DC Appeals Court website YouTube channel at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Friday.
All right.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Sunny Hump Day Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Friday.
Later.
This is A Place for My Head Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
This week on the A Place for My Head podcast, Brandon Thompson and I rehash everything that's been going on in the world lately. A lot to go over, a lot to discuss, especially when it comes to how it's affecting everybody's mental health. And then we talk to three-time Super Bowl champ and College Football Hall of Famer Randy Cross about the story of University of Tennessee quarterback Brian Moore. Not familiar with this kid? After this episode, you will be, and you're going to admire the hell out of them. All that and more this week on the A Place for My Head podcast, now also found on Spotify.
A Place for My Head with Brandon Thompson and Jerry P. Tuck can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.